You're listening to Unchained, a podcast that explores the meaning of freedom, the chains that hold us back, and how to break them to find freedom in life and business. I'm your host, Philip Ride, and I've been an entrepreneur and freelancer since the age of 16. I'm also an author, international speaker, and coach. On this podcast, I'm answering your burning questions, getting insights from people who have found their freedom, and taking you behind the scenes of coaching sessions. My guest today is Karina Harvey. She's a lady who moved to Dubai and changed everything. Changed her identity, changed her way of life, changed her way of looking at the world. But there's a couple of things that I want to pick up on and explore with Karina today. First is a shift from the corporate world into style and identity coaching, which is what she now specializes in. And also training as a stylist and being involved in fashion, something that people question me for in terms of my choice of colors and shirts, but I'm interested to understand from Karina how we can play a big part in the way we perceive ourselves, the way other people perceive us, and how that actually plays into the chain that I write about in my book, The Chain of Perception. Karina, thank you for joining me today. There's lots to talk about here. You know, I haven't touched on some of the other challenges that you've overcome, but just talk me through that. You know, you said corporate to style and identity coach, making a shift, moving to Dubai. Just take me through that journey and some of the challenges that you face and what you've overcome.
Yeah. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me. And thank you for that introduction as well. I need to live up to that now. So. So my journey, so absolutely. So I came from the corporate world. I had worked in sales and recruitment for like 8 or 9 years. I then moved in-house and I moved into the talent and HR space. And all throughout my career, I've always been involved in coaching. So at some point, I always knew that I wanted to branch off and do my own thing. Always knew that I wanted to do something in the coaching space, but I just could never really figure out what my niche would be, you know? So in terms of the relocation, so what can I say? So let's rewind back to beginning of 2016, and I relocated to Dubai. I did it really, really suddenly, and it was off the back of quite a turbulent year. I broke up with my long-term partner. And that later led to my divorce of him as well. Everything was really amicable, and it was driven by me. But I guess when I arrived in Dubai, I hadn't really realized that I hadn't come to terms with that level of change. And I feel like also as well, something I should add to that, I went through quite a major redundancy as well. So I'd been in a job for about 6 years. And it was the kind of organization where like I had a number of different roles within that organization. So I really felt like when I joined there, this was it for me. Like that was my career kind of all mapped out. So I never really expected the redundancy to be on the cards. But nonetheless, that's what happened. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to just change everything. I feel like it's a sign, like I'm a big person, a big believer in the sense that, you know, sometimes you just get a sign, you get a push. And so let's do something. And I'd always wanted to live overseas. So I basically relocated to Dubai. And like I say, I went through a really, really challenging first year. And I realized that I hadn't really processed anything that I had been through at all. And so I guess it totally left me kind of thinking, well, you know, who am I? So when I was back in London, obviously, I was this kind of corporate girl. You know, at one point I was married. So that was a trajectory that I was on. I felt like I was going to have, you know, kids in the next few years. And then all of a sudden I was a single girl living in Dubai. So my life had completely changed. And then I went into a couple of different corporate roles I had over here. And one of them was quite a small role. So it was completely different to what I'd had back home in the UK. So again, like I say, the reason why I say, you know, part of my identity back home was being this kind of corporate girl was because all of a sudden that was very, very different here. I then, after a couple of years, I went into a different role. And again, that wasn't quite right because the role was different again, but the culture and the environment just wasn't really for me. So this is kind of what led me to thinking, right, this is it. I really do need to figure out what kind of coaching business I'm going to set up. And so this took me on a different journey because then I went down the path of like solidifying some of my coaching experience. And one of the certifications that I took was a life purpose coaching certification, which was absolutely amazing because obviously it meant that I could deliver this as a coach myself. But it also, I was the student, if you like, of this coaching. And it took me back to like all of my childhood and, you know, all of the passions and the interests that you have before like life influences you in a particular way. And so this is where the whole fashion and the styling piece came from. So again, I retrained. I learn a lot, by the way, I study a lot. I retrained in the space of fashion and styling. And then eventually, like a couple of years ago, I left my corporate career behind me entirely. And I worked as a stylist for a short period of time. And the one thing that I noticed when I was speaking to clients in person is that there was this really common theme around the fact that people would generally seek out the support of a stylist because they were in some kind of confusion around their identity. And it was usually linked to some kind of significant life change. So like people would come to me because of the reasons, you know, like divorce or like reasons like they'd just become a mother. They were still feeling quite postpartum, like new promotion, all of these different reasons that they were looking to me for this kind of advice. And I was like, hang on a second, there's surely a need, therefore, for some kind of coaching that not just help people to figure out what they're going to wear every day or figure out their wardrobe, but actually figure out who they are and figure out, you know, what has that change led them to? Like they're still the person that they were, but undoubtedly they've changed. So who are they now and how does the whole styling piece fit in with that? So this is how the style identity coaching was born. And then over the last, well, recent months, I guess, just working with more people and I guess tapping into some of the experiences that I've had and, you know, obviously my corporate experience as well, I've realized that there's an even broader piece around it as well. You know, it's not just styling, but you know, we first and foremost have to understand what exactly is our personal identity, because everything that we do falls into alignment with that. And so if we don't understand ourselves, then we're never going to understand what are our passions, how are we going to stick to the path that we want to stick to, how are we going to raise our children, how are we going to go out there and figure out what we want to do in terms of work and things like that, but then also our style as well. So I realized that it's actually a much broader kind of topic. So now the coaching is kind of evolving, really. So yeah, that was a very long-winded explanation as to how I got into this.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear. And it sounds like a double whammy almost in the redundancy and the relationship, because a lot of people often it's like, oh, who are you? What do you do? Oh, well, I work as this, you know. There's an identity associated with the work that you do, teacher, mechanic, pilot, nurse, you know, all of these things. And it's like, okay, that is who you then see yourself as. And when that changes, you're like, well, okay, now what? Who am I? That has you know, left a big hole in me. Relationships are another one. It's like, oh, I was part of a group, family unit, friends unit, all of that's maybe changed. Okay. And it's like, for you, I said, it sounds like both of those things happening at once. I can absolutely understand some of the challenges there of, yeah, who am I? And it's interesting. Identity is one of the things I talk about it in my coaching. I, you know, obviously, not the same approach, but it's we often wear multiple hats already. So I look at it as a case of how can we add a new identity if we want to be able to do something like, I want to go on a fitness journey. I want to get in better shape. Well, adopt an identity of someone who is into fitness. You know, so there's a core identity of who we are and what we like and what we enjoy and, you know, the way that we perceive the world and the way we react to things. But we also then wear multiple hats and almost have multiple identities based on the situations that we're in and on what we want to do and how we use our time. Is that something that you work with people on just to help them understand and say, okay, well, there's a core identity we need to get to. Let's understand that. You mentioned, you know, things that make people feel good, you know, the passions they had from childhood, things like that. But then do you work with them to say, okay, well, how are you going to show up in different situations? What is that identity that you can adopt, whether it's at work, whether it's with friends, whether it's, you know, at the weekend and you're just chilling out? Is that something that you go through with them?
Yes, absolutely. Because it's so important to understand your individual, your authentic, like you say, core identity, because you're absolutely right. So everything that you do in life, you do adopt a different identity. You know, you go into the corporate world, and I certainly were very, very different when I was at work to being outside of work. When I look back now, probably too different. And so that creates a bit of an imbalance, because then all of a sudden there's two parts of you that is no longer kind of in alignment. So the work that I'm trying to do with individuals is to say, okay, let's first of all break it down. Let's first of all understand your true, your core authentic identity. Then let's examine different parts of your life. So someone might come to me purely looking for style identity coaching. So the baseline work is discovering themselves first of all, and then we look at how that plays out authentically in their style. If someone came to me and said, so I had a conversation actually just recently, someone came to me and they were looking to understand more about their style and their image, but they were also looking to understand probably a bit more to do with their life purpose. So again, I said, you know, the work that we would do initially is to explore your own identity. Let's work through that rediscovery process. Then let's go on to the life purpose. Then let's go on to the style, because these are the things that you need to have in order to make sure that that flow is supporting, you know, who you are initially. Because if anything is out of line, then you're not going to feel comfortable with it and you're not going to feel like you enjoy it. It's interesting you mentioned the fitness piece as well. So I was talking to somebody who's a fitness trainer and nutritionist, that she's with her clients as well, because a lot of people come to her and say, okay, I'm doing keto and I'm trying running. And she's kind of like, yeah, but do you enjoy any of that? Like, does this play into anything that you actually enjoy? And 9 times out of 10, it's like, no, but I've heard that that's going to get results, so I'm just going to do it. So it's surprising actually how blindly we will follow things as well. And if we are, I don't know, told to adopt a different lifestyle in a certain way, or we feel like we're going to the office and we need to adopt a completely different persona, it's actually quite surprising how readily we're happy to do that. So,
yeah, I mean, I fall into that trap. So I'm used to wearing shorts, t-shirt, flip-flops, because I'm here in Dubai and I work from home. And then I have to wear jeans and a shirt when I go to meetings. And then you've seen me, you know, we first met at an event, and what was I wearing? Pink shorts, flowery shirt.
Yeah.
And it's like, really again, but my identity then changes depending on the situation that I'm in. And I know that.
Yeah.
So it's about finding the things that are most comfortable. I dread being in a situation where I have to wear a suit, because that just doesn't feel comfortable for me. It's not the norm. You know, wearing a tuxedo, it's slightly different because of the situation that you're likely to be in when you're wearing it. But it's again, it's I guess the perception that we have of those situations, what we feel comfortable with. And actually, it leads nicely onto one of the other things I want to touch on, is worrying about other people's perception of us. So perception is one of the chains in my 12 chains model, helping people break free of those. And there's two sides to it. There's the perception we have of ourselves, and then the images or the perception that we worry about other people have of us. So sometimes that is stylistically. It's like, if I wear this, what are people going to think? For me, there's a question there of, why does it matter what they think? Who cares? Mm. It's about you. Yeah. And I have this challenge and struggle in conversation with people all the time, because it's like, do I look good in this? I'm like, why are you asking me? My opinion really doesn't matter. It's whether you feel comfortable in it. And it's like, and that's the approach that I take for myself as well. Do I feel comfortable in it? Yes, great, fine. I'll just crack on. How do you work through that situation with people and, worrying or that their worry of what other people think of them from an identity and a stylistic approach?
Yeah, so I guess there's a number of things in there. So I think from a pure styling perspective, part of my role is when I work with people is to help them to understand aesthetically what is going to suit them. Particularly, somebody is says, okay, I just don't know how to change for sorry, dress for my body because it's changed significantly. So that's something that we can work on. But then there's a deeper level as well around body confidence and self-love, because that has to be there as well. And then there's also the element of lifestyle and expression. And so this is what I mean about coming back to that whole alignment piece. So I could go in and I could say to you, okay, let's go through your wardrobe. I'm going to tell you all of the different colors that you should definitely be wearing. This is absolutely what suits you. And you might look at what's left behind and think, well, that's great, but it doesn't really express me. And I don't actually like half of what we've been talking about here. So you have to feel comfortable with it, and you have to feel like it's going to be suitable for your lifestyle, but it's also going to express who you are. So yeah, there's different parts to that. And also the aspects that you said about people, what people think of you. And I think, so again, I've been through my own journey when it comes to this as well. I realized that, so when I went through the changes that I spoke about earlier, I went through a real path of my own like self-discovery, and I realized just how much I cared about what people think. But half the time, what was in my head probably wasn't really the reality. It was actually me thinking that they are thinking this of me, right? So the whole like perception projection thing was completely muddled in my head. And so obviously, I've been through my own kind of therapy, and I've been coached and mentored and stuff like that. So this is how I've come to this point. But it's surprising that our own self, our internal narrative can be really, really negative. But a lot of the time as well, we will project that. And so we'll go out there thinking, oh my God, they're going to think this and they're going to think that. But half the time, that's our own insecurity. And we're just projecting that. And we're just saying that people are gonna think that. So it's half the time, it's not even true.
Yeah, it's a challenging situation because I guess the first point of dealing with that then is recognizing and accepting the fact that a lot of it we are making up. It is in our heads. Once we come to terms with that, it's like, okay, right, now I can change that narrative. I can start to think differently, or I can put more stock in what I feel about a situation, what looks good, feels good for me to wear. Okay, how am I going to approach the situation? If I get positive comments, great, that's a bonus. If I get negative comments, well, that's their view and it doesn't really matter. I guess it's being comfortable in ourselves and yes, that and it's a journey to get there to say, you know what, this is about me.
But that's where the self-love piece comes in as well. And that's why that's really important, because you're not going, like, people are not necessarily going to like everything that I wear. And that used to, and if you'd said that to me 10 years ago, I would be like, what? That inner ego would be, no, I can't believe it. And if they don't, then oh my gosh, I would really worry about that. Now I know that some people are not going to like what I wear, or what I do, or whatever. You're not going to be able to please everybody, but you're also not necessarily going to know that. And even if that is the case and you do find that out, actually it's having that alignment to say, well, I really like this, and that's fine. And I'm happy with that, because that's the most important thing.
Yeah, which leads me to an interesting question. Okay. Obviously, you do the coaching, and this is core part of what you do. But if there was someone in that situation currently, they put a lot of stock in what other people think. They haven't necessarily done some of that inner work. and started to become comfortable with themselves and saying, actually, it's more important for me to feel good and how I perceive myself and how I think about myself. What would you say to them? Are there some steps that you would suggest they go through? You know, is it just go and stand in front of the mirror for 30 minutes and look at yourself? And, you know, what are some of those things that you would guide them on to try and help move them forward in that process?
Yeah. So I think it depends. I mean, obviously, everybody is different to start with. I think what I would start with, first of all, is just some kind of simple kind of exercises. So thinking about, you know, affirmations and meditations so that that individual can start to, first of all, go through the process of getting in touch with themselves, but also doing positive things that are going to help them to start to feel good about themselves. You know, these are some of the things that I definitely worked on to begin with. But then there's going to be specific things, and this is why I say everybody's different, because everybody has their own kind of belief system, and there's going to be different things that hold each of us back. So it's really working with that individual to explore what are the things that are holding them back, what are the beliefs that are holding them back, because the beliefs are not truth. It's not like absolutely that's the situation. No, it's not. So what are the beliefs, and where have they come from? And then how can we reframe those beliefs so that gradually that's no longer what they think of themselves and what they believe in themselves? And there's different exercises as well that you can kind of work through with individuals to help demonstrate that, because it's building that level of reinforcement so that somebody starts to build that inner confidence and their mindset starts to shift in that sense.
Yeah, beliefs is an interesting one. I love Vishen Lakhiani's book, Code of the Extraordinary Minds, and he goes into, you know, I think it's, I positions it as like absolute and relative. Absolutes are, you know, things that we can't argue with. It is definitive the world over, or the universe, or whatever else. And then there's those relative, it's like, that may be just for your culture, your city. It's like, oh, what is the best sports team in the world? Well, obviously the one that I support. Yeah, but that's not what the person next to you says. So that's a relative. That's not you know, not something that you can put a lot of stock in. So yeah, beliefs, understanding that and knowing that we can change them as well, I guess, is part of the challenge, because often, and I've fallen into this myself, we can get so stuck in our ways and the beliefs that we have, whether from childhood or otherwise, it's like, that's the way that I currently view the world. Well, I need to recognize that that's actually then influencing what I say, what I do. Okay, maybe there's some changes there that I need to make first before I can work on everything else.
Yeah. And you need someone to help you to explore that as well, because sometimes these are such hidden beliefs that you can possibly come to that conclusion yourself. Like I've had certain beliefs that I've uncovered about myself, that, you know, me being my own worst critic, and everybody has said that to me all throughout my life, and I don't think I really, really understood it until probably about a year or two ago, where I realized, I went through this really simple exercise with somebody, and they were talking about how I measure success, and they drew out like noughts to 100% in like 10% increments. And we were talking, so I'm a runner, and we were talking about running. And they said, so what would 100% look like? So I said, okay, let's set a goal, let's say 10K. Okay, so they said, okay, so when you reach that 10K, is that 100%? You've achieved 100%. And I said, well, no. Because if I got to 10K, then I'd probably push myself to do another 2 or 3 or 4. And what transpired out of this conversation is actually, I criticize, even if I reach my goal, then I will criticize myself for not pushing myself to do more. If I do more, then the next time it's a continual cycle. And so that was the moment where I realized, actually, I am my biggest, my harshest critic, because I go through that kind of process. But it took for that conversation to really kind of point that out to me. So you need that kind of intervention with that.
Yeah, I think Absolutely. I've been in the same situation. Some of the things that I've been able to do and achieve through my life, it's only when you take a step back and look at it. And this was one of the exercises I did at UPW, Tony Robbins. It's like it was a gratitude exercise, but just thinking about all of the things that you've achieved and you've done, and hitting a 10K for some people, that's absolutely a major milestone. It's actually something that I'm working towards this year for my fitness goal. It's like, because historically I've been a sprinter, so doing a 10K, that's that for me, that's hard. So it's like, okay, do I push myself beyond that potentially in the future? But as of right now, if I can reach that goal, that's a good achievement for me. That would be 100%. And I think we need to take that time to recognize some of the things that we've done, the achievements, the goals that we've hit in the past, things that we've been able to experience, because obviously those are the things that have made us who we are. But we often, and if we're entrepreneurs, it's even worse, because it's like, I've hit this goal, right? What's next? What am I working towards? That's not good enough anymore. Where's my next milestone? And we just constantly keep pushing ourselves to try and hit that next level without taking the time to appreciate the time and effort that it's taken to get to where we are and all of the things that we've done.
And it's really interesting because even when I used to coach my managers back in my corporate career, it's work that I would do with them is to help them to highlight all of the achievements that they've built throughout their career so that I can help them to understand, where are all of the skills that you've developed that actually this thing that's up here that you're worried about the fact that you won't be able to carry out, if you've got it all, like you, all of your experiences, all of the skills you've developed have led you to this point. And I would go through this process with them when coaching. I realized that I didn't do it with myself at all. And that's obviously, the running was just an example as to what we were talking about. But actually, it was that one exercise that I just realized that I didn't do any of, like every single area of my life. I would not look back and say, oh, that's great. I achieved X, Y, and Z. Because I'd be like, next, what's the next thing? That's great. Okay, brilliant. And just not really acknowledge it, not celebrate it, not acknowledge it. So you just kind of live this life like you're just racing towards the next thing. And then you're not really enjoying anything either. And that was the other thing I realized as well, is that I was living therefore in fear of not actually achieving certain things. And so I would push myself to certain limits in order to get to something because I felt like that was what I had to have. So yeah, I just, it was completely, it was really, really eye-opening when I came across that.
So based on the process that you've been through, coaching, the changes, the work that you're now doing, what does the future look like for you? I'm guessing you're now in a position, and I may be putting words into your mouth here, from an identity and stylistic perspective, you are comfortable where you are at. So what does the future look like for you? What are you working towards? And I know it's obviously touching on the fact that we as entrepreneurs will set goals, and as soon as we hit them, we'll want the next one and things like that. But what does, coaching is very subjective at the best of times. It's like some people, they just want two clients that they can work with for the next 10 years. Other people want, a million clients that they just have, one-off touch points with. What does that look like for you in terms of what you want to create and how you want to support people?
So I think, I mean, my overarching goal is to be able to help people who've been through similar situations to myself. And there are plenty of situations as well that we haven't even touched upon. There's so many different life changes where you come out the other side and, some of these are control, like some of the things that I went through were actually quite controlled in the sense that I put myself through them. And then I came out the other side and I still felt like I didn't know who I was. And then there are other things that happen and they're totally unexpected, certain relationship breakups and things like that that people don't foresee. And then they come out the other side, having dealt with the shock of the situation and still then not knowing exactly who they've become as a result. So I think the big overarching goal is just to work with people now and to be able to help people go through that transition and to accept that they do have a new identity. But it doesn't mean that they don't have the old identity. Because again, a bit like the managerial example that I was saying, actually, you carry all of these things with you. So it's more about who have you evolved to be and accepting that that level of change has happened and then building out from there. So I guess helping as many people as I possibly can. And I'm doing it in different ways as well. So I'm working with corporate businesses. I'm working with people on an individual basis. I'm also going to launch a podcast as well very shortly. Because I want to showcase certain, you know, obviously with people willing to do so, but showcase certain changes that have happened to individuals and the fact that they would have felt like they've gone through their own identity changes, but how did they get through that? I think that's a really important topic to show people that, you know, you're going through these things, but you're not alone. Because that's the thing, nobody is alone in this situation. We all go through these huge monumental changes in life and we all continually evolve as well. You know, these are skills that once we hone in on this and we understand how to rediscover ourselves and get back to who we are and realign everything that we're doing with ourselves, these are skills that will never, never leave a person and we'll continually need to use as well because we're not done with all of the changes ahead.
Yeah, I think that's so true. So as we wrap up then, are there any final comments that you would like to make to the people listening or watching and like, okay, if you are struggling at the minute, here's something to think about, you know, whether it's a baby step or whether it's like, you know, mentioned gratitude exercises or looking back at all of the achievements or, you know, is there something that you would say, you know what, actually from your own experience or the work that you've done with people, this is actually something that's really powerful and is going to help you.
Yeah. I think maybe, so having a kind of a broad base of questions for individuals who are maybe a bit confused about who they are, I wish that I had this almost like a toolkit of questions. So when I was going through that really turbulent year, like I say, I landed in Dubai and I didn't really know, I had no idea of the person that I'd become. And I wish that I had just a level of sense check that I could sit down with myself and look at my own environment and look at all of the things around me, the things that I was doing, the people I was surrounded by, the role that I was carrying out, and just having that sense check to say, does this align with me? Do I enjoy this? Why am I doing this? Why do I want this? And using that kind of toolkit of questioning process to figure out, you know, are these the things that I should be doing? Because this helps us to go back to exploring who we are. And I think that that helps you to kind of realign and almost re-baseline the things that you actually want in life. So even if you need that level of third-party intervention and coaching, like the work that I do, that's like a first step that you can carry out by yourself. And I wish that somebody had said that to me, I guess, in that year, because I think I would have found that very helpful.